open your Bibles to the book of James, the first chapter. Your Scofield Bible, page 1306. James chapter 1, we'll be reading verse 8. While you're finding that, this announcement, would Stephanie Ernst please come to the usher station? Stephanie Ernst, the usher station out there in our hallway, back in this corner. And Stephanie is needed there. We'll read a verse here. We'll go to yet other verses and read them as well. First of all, the 8th verse of the first chapter of James. Let's stand, please, as is our custom to do. Read just 3 verses, but it'll take us a little while to get around in the Word. Let's read the 8th verse together. Ready? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now to the 12th Psalm. Psalm 12, verse 2, page 604 in your Scofield Bible. Psalm 12 and verse 2. Let's read that, please. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak. Now to 1 Timothy chapter 3, page 1275 in your Scofield Bible. We'll read the 8th verse of the 3rd chapter. I'll give you just a little moment there to find it. And let's read that together, please. Ready? Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. And let's pray. Father, there's something for each of us tonight. This is a great church. This is a great crowd. And none of us are very much alike. We have so many different needs. But we have a common need tonight to listen to the Word preached. We have a common debt to decency in order to behave ourselves while Thy Word is being preached. And we pray that Thou wouldst help us to listen and help our preacher and give him especially Thy power and blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may not can tell it from my preaching, but my sermons are very carefully outlined. I work rather hard on them. And you say, well, you mean you work hard on those? You ought to hear the ones I preach when I don't work hard on them. But normally I have a very planned type of a sermon. I did so tonight, and yet I have absolutely added stuff, but didn't have time to get a new outline. I got notes all over here. I got little doojiggers over here and arrows pointing over here. And I'm not sure where we're going to end up tonight or how long it'll be before we end up tonight. But I have a dual title tonight. One title is double-mindedness, double-heartedness, and double tongue. Double mind, double heart, and double tongue. I also have a co-title, and that title is The Secret to a Happy Old Age. Let me say a word before I pray. I wish young folks had enough sense to trust us old folks. You got the idea that we have you got the idea that we have a few things we don't want you to do to deprive you from. And the honest, simple truth is, we've lived long enough to watch people go down every road there is to go down, and we know what will make you happy someday and what will make you glad that you live like you live someday. Some of you young people grew up in First Baptist, went to our schools, and have decided to go out in the world. In the first place, you ought to be ashamed for taking our education, we worked so hard, and then flaunting it. Secondly, you're going to be sorry one of these days. You that don't listen to me now, you'll be back. You'll be coming back to see me. You'll be back. you young ladies here that are dating young men you shouldn't date, young men that would tip the bottle, young men that are opposed to the ministry here, you'll be back with a little baby in your arms and divorce papers in your hand with a broken heart and a broken life. Now, we're trying to keep you from doing that. Tonight, an old man is going to preach on the secret of a happy old age. Not double-minded, not double heart, not a double tongue. I hope you listen carefully. I'm not sure what direction I'm going to go exactly. I'm not sure exactly what part of this outline I'm going to use. I'm just going to talk to you, and it'll be from my heart. I promise you that. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that every college student shall sit up straight, quit misbehaving, and listen to the preacher. I pray that every high school student, junior high student, will listen to me. I pray that each of us shall pay attention tonight as we speak on this important subject. Please help me. Amen. Sit up straight and listen carefully to me. I'm getting close enough to the end where I can see just a little light at the end of the tunnel. For me, one of my most traumatic birthdays was my 74th birthday. I don't know why, but it was traumatic. And I told Mrs. Hiles, this may have been the hardest birthday that I've ever had. But I'm getting, and don't think I'm not about to kick the bucket. I don't even own a bucket. But I realize the fact that I'm getting at least in the neighborhood of the end. I believe that I'm gonna, if I can hang in here, I believe I'm gonna finish my course. The apostle said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have finished my course. You see, God has a course for each one of us. And our success in life is not about how big a church we pastor, or how famous we are, or how much money that we acquire and accumulate, or how much power we have, or how much fun we have, or how many conveniences we have. The success a failure in our lives will be determined by one thing. Did you finish the course that God has set before you? Hebrews 12:1-2 said, we're seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the course that is set before us. God has planned a course for my life, and likewise God has planned a course for your life. Now, your success or failure in your life will be dependent on how close or how near did you come to staying on course and finishing that course. Now, I honestly say this with all my heart. I'm not a great preacher. I'm not a great Christian. I don't claim to be a big shot. I'm not. But I believe tonight that I've been on course for these years. You see, I started to preach as a teenage lad. By the time I was 21 years of age, I was pastoring a full-time Baptist church. And I believe that I've been on the course that God has laid out for me. Now, let me tell you tonight the reasons that I believe that I've stayed on course and what you'll have to do if you can say at the end of your life, I finished the course. I want to say this. You are, if death does not intervene, you are going to be 74 one of these days. It does come. I used to look at my life, and I was talking with Scott and Cindy the other night about it. I used to say, well, I'm 30 years old. That's 3/7 of my life. And I got to 40. I said, I'm 40. That's 4/7 of my life. And I got 35. I said, that's half of it. When I got to 50, I said, that's 5/7 of my life. And I got to 60. I said, that's 6/7 of my life. Folks, I've been dead for 4 years. Now, I want to tell you, let me say it again. Say what you want to say. Call us what you want to call us. And some of you little 19, 20-year-old pipsqueaks ought to listen to somebody who knows something about life. You listen to me. You go ahead and drink your stinking liquor, and you're going to one of these days be sorry you did. Go ahead and make fun of old-fashioned fundamentalism, this church and Howells Anderson College, and one of these days, you're going to be sorry you did. I don't believe it. You don't have to believe it, because I've been around long enough to know, and you have not been around long enough to know. All you're doing is experimenting. I know what I'm talking about. How did I come to the age 74 and be able to say, thus far, I've finished my course? Number one, I have not been double-minded. I have not been double-minded. The Bible says the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, what does it mean to be single-minded? Here's what it means. It means that you have found your one great purpose in life. It also means that you are doing, okay, it means you're doing what God intended for you to do. And it means you're doing it where God intended for you to do it. Many years ago, I became pastor of a little country church called the Morris Chapel Baptist Church. I am as sure as I am that I'm standing here tonight, that was the will of God for my life. I'm talking about where I was supposed to be. I was called shortly thereafter to pastor my first full-time church, the Grange Hall Baptist Church, that little building out there that's on the campus. And I am positive that the day that I walked in that building was the day that I was supposed to walk in that building. And the day that I walked out of that building was the day I was supposed to walk out of that building. I went to the Southside Baptist Church in Henderson, Texas. I know why I went there. I know I was supposed to go there. I know how long I was supposed to stay there. I know I was supposed to leave there. I went to Miller Road Baptist Church in Garland, Texas, December of 1952. And I know I was supposed to be there, December 7, 1952, I think it was. And I also know that I was supposed to leave in August of 1959. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, for 41 years, a little over that now, I have been right in the center of God's geographical will for my life as pastor of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Now listen, He knows what's best for my life, and He knows what's best for your life. And you better strike a match to all those plans that you, with your little pinhead brain, have got. And you ought to take the omniscience of God Almighty and let God decide what makes you happy. You put your little mind up beside omniscience, and you think you know more than God. And the simple truth is you don't know more than God. And the honest truth is what you need to do is quit being double-minded. By that I mean do the thing that God meant you to do, and do it where God meant you to do it. How many times you heard me say this? God one day had a job He needed done. And God made you to do that job. God didn't look down one day and say, I wonder who he is, but figure out something to keep him busy. No, God made you for a job. Nobody can do that job like you can do it. Nobody can do the job that God has made you for like you can do it, because you were tailor-made, designer's model, and original, made for that particular task. Now, then, I want to say this. Hey, I promise you this. When you get 74, you're going to wish you'd listen to what I'm saying tonight. You get 74, you're going to wish that you had not been double-minded, that you had found the will of God. I said God had a job to do, and God made you to do that job. Not only that, that means that God needed somebody just like you. My Bible says she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Oh, she thinks she's alive. Oh, the lights are bright and the gown is beautiful and the laughter is great and the liquor is exhilarating and the bright life, the Las Vegas kind of life is fun. But my Bible says she's dead while she liveth. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So says the Bible. 56 years ago, at a watch night service at Hillcrest Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, a teenage lad, the introvert of the church, walked down the aisle and surrendered his life to preach the gospel. And as I've said before, nobody took it very seriously. For I was faithful to the church. Everybody knew me. I grew up in the church. I was always there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But nobody ever thought that I would be able to be a preacher. From that moment to this, hear me now, from that moment to this, I found my purpose, and I've been on the trail of that purpose all these years. My first sermon was a flop. I failed public speaking in high school. I was warned to the college dean I'd never make a preacher, but that doesn't make any difference. Fully on the college dean and fully on the prophets of doom, God told me, led me, and impressed me that I was to be a preacher of the gospel. Now listen to me, folks. You find out what God wants you to do, and you go and pursue that course. That's what the double-minded man is. He has no purpose. He does this. He does this. But the single-minded man finds out what God wants him to do and where God wants him to do it and spends his life pursuing that. Well, it's been 56 years. I'm still at it. I'm still at it. I'm still on the same road I was on 56 years ago. I'm still going down the same trail, the purpose of my life. 52 years ago, I made 5 decisions. You heard me tell about them. I decided 52 years ago that money would never be an issue, and money is not an issue. I decided 52 years ago that nobody would mess with my preaching, and nobody ever better try to mess with my preaching. I decided 52 years ago I'd be loyal to principles and not institutions, and 52 years later, I'm loyal to principles and not institutions. I decided 52 years ago I'd make my decisions on right or wrong and not expediency. I wouldn't figure out how it was going to turn out. I'd do right and not wrong, and that's where I'd make my decisions, and 52 years later, I'm still making my decisions on what's right and wrong and not expediency. 52 years ago, I promised God I'd be a friend to my friends, and 52 years have passed. You check my record out, I'm still a friend to my friends. I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, same Bible I used 50 years ago, same message, same convictions, same standards. Saw an advertisement, a little brochure the other day, starting a church out somewhere in the south suburbs. And they had a picture of the Sunday clothing, a pair of blue jeans. Now, that's a disgrace in the sight of Almighty God. If blue jeans are all you have, then you wear them to church, but somebody ought to teach us to be appropriate in our dress, our manner, and our behavior. And the same standards that I had 52 years ago, I have now. And the same convictions and the same doctrine I have now. Why? Because I've not been double-minded. Decide what you believe. But you say, well, I think I'll wait and decide what I believe. You've got the same brain now you're going to have later. And it's new now. It's going to be worn out after a while. Decide what you believe. The other night, I was preaching somewhere. You guys appreciate this. I was signing Bibles. The lady walked up to me and she said, would you sign my Bible? I signed her Bible standing behind the pulpit of the church, and I gave it back to her, and it said New International Version. And I said, ma'am, you asked me to sign your Bible. Where is it? I said, this is not a Bible. This is Sonderman's idea of what the Bible is. I said, the King James is God's idea of what the Bible is. I said, now, ma'am, I'm going to do something. Don't get mad at me. I'm going to do 2 things. Number one is, I'm tearing a page out of your Bible. I'm tearing the page out that I signed. Because I promised you I'd sign your Bible. I'm not going to have my name in an NIV Bible. Secondly, I said, there's a bookstore here. Come with me, and I'll buy you a real Bible and give it to you as a gift. I tore the page out of the NIV Bible. I took her to the bookstore. I bought a King James Bible for her, and she threw the NIV in the garbage can and went on her way happy. You see, what's happened to our fundamental churches is not... It's not that we're different. No, they've changed. You look the way folks used to dress. The way people dressed in church 40 years ago is the way we're dressed in church right now. And the way folks went to school 40 years ago are the way our students go to school tomorrow morning. And the convictions that Baptist folks used to have are the convictions that we have now. The charismatic folks have no conviction, no standards, but they used to be narrow-minded. The Nazarenes used to have standards, and the Church of God used to have standards, and the Methodists used to have standards. Well, bless God, let the whole world change. First Baptist Church of Hammond, Hammond Baptist Schools, and Howells Edison College are not double-minded. They'll go down the same old road they've been going down all these years. As music has changed, mine hasn't. As fashions have changed, mine hasn't. As Bibles have changed,
We've not changed Bibles. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, as a 74-year-old man tonight, facing the senior days of my life, with a little light at the end of the tunnel I can already see, I want to say I've not been double-minded, and that's one reason I can say I've finished the course. I got a birthday card the other day from a fellow, and he decided, in old-fashioned fundamentalist, and then he changed and decided to be a charismatic, and then he changed and decided to be a fundamentalist, and then he changed and decided to be one of these new community-type churches, no standards and no convictions and so forth, and just wishy-washy. Well, bless God, one of these days I'll stand before God, and I will not say I'm a great preacher, and he won't say you've been the greatest preacher in the world, but he will say you have not changed since you were a kid preacher. I finished the course. I stayed on the course. Find what God wants you to do and do it. Don't be double-minded. Number two, double-hearted. I said double-minded means finding what God, doing what God wants you to do, and doing it where God wants you to do it. Double-hearted. Double-hearted means, a single-hearted means, doing it like God wants you to do it. What's the secret to coming to 74 years of age and facing the last years of your ministry and being able to say, thus far, I finished the course. It looks like I'm going to be able to stay out yonder in a few years. I've kept the faith. I fought the good fight. I finished my course. What's the secret to it? Number one, not having a double mind, not changing here and going here, finding God's purpose and doing God's purpose and doing it where God wants you to do it. Number two, not double-hearted. What does that mean? That means I'm supposed to do it how I'm supposed to do it. With my entire devotion. For 53 years I've pastored Baptist churches. I have not had as much to give as some, but I've given it all I've had. Tonight at 74 years of age, I don't have the energy I once had, but I give God all the energy I have. Tonight at 74, I can't run as fast as I used to run, but I run as fast as I can. Tonight, I can't carry the load at 74 that I used to carry, but I carry as heavy a load as I can. Tonight, I don't have the health that I used to have, and at 74, I'm not as healthy as I once was, but what health I have, I give it to God. I'd be ashamed. I would really be ashamed. Some of you preacher boys, 20 and 25 years of age, you have less zip and less zeal than an old 74-year-old man, and not as concerned about the purpose of God and the will of God. I'm trying to tell you that the way that you get to place where I say I've finished the course, it means I've done what God meant for me to do. I've done it where God meant to do it, and I've done it like God meant, and that means give it all you got. That's what it means. I've had my chances. I was offered, after I was called to preach, I was offered a contract for the Dodger baseball team. I was somewhat of an athlete, and I was a good baseball player. I was offered a contract. I could have gone that route. My Uncle Harvey, a multimillionaire, offered to give me $250,000 when I was a kid preacher, with promise that would make me a multimillionaire if I'd made certain concessions. I've had my chances. When I was a young man, the age of young about Brother Lapina's age, I guess, I had chances to be a citywide evangelist, a la Billy Graham's crusades. I had invitations from 22 cities of over 500,000 population. I had an invitation from the fundamental churches in New York City to preach a citywide campaign in Madison Square Garden. I had an invitation to preach a citywide campaign in Phoenix, Arizona, in the 10,000-seat auditorium in Dallas, Texas. I had an invitation to speak citywide campaign at Cobo Hall, the 11,000-seat Coliseum in Cobo Hall. I had 22 invitations to preach in citywide campaigns, but it so happened God didn't call me to be an evangelist. I don't care how big the campaign, I don't care how famous I would have been, any television stations I've been on, God called me to be the pastor of a New Testament Baptist church, and that's the course that God called me, and I set my course 53 years ago, and I've been on course. I've done what God wanted me to do, where God wanted me, and I've given it all that I had. All
Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence there. And you little half in, half out, half on, half off, milk and cider, sort of the pink tea and lemonade, lukewarm Christians. God help you to do the thing that God called you to do, and do it where God calls you to do it, and do it like God called you to do it. This building didn't one day pop up here. That college out there didn't one day just appear. Baptist City out there didn't one day just happen. City Baptist School didn't one day just all of a sudden show up. It so happened there's been an old man here for 41 years, had a bunch of people loyal to him. The old man has given it all he's had for 41 years, and God knows that's the truth. And you stuck by that old man. Now you listen to me. You find what God calls you to do, and you do it where God calls you to do it, and what God calls you to do, and do it like God calls you to do it. All you've got. Give it all you've got. And then double-minded means finding and doing what God made you to do and doing it where God made you to do it. Double-hearted means, or single-hearted means, doing it like God calls you to do it. And then double-tongued, 1 Timothy 3:8. What does that mean? That means you, while you're doing what God called you to do, where God called you to do it, like God called you to do it, you say what you are supposed to say. Not double-tongued. This is sort of a testimony sermon, as you can tell. I preached all over this country. I've traveled to every state in the United States and 33 foreign countries. My message has stayed the same everywhere I've ever been. I was preaching in New York State at the State Conservative Baptist Association meeting. Hadn't a sermon already to preach. Walked in. The afternoon session was first. I was to preach after the group sang. Introduced a young teenage ensemble. Here comes a guy out the door with his shirt tail out and shirt unbuttoned and no undershirt on. He's singing in the ensemble. You can see the hair on his chest. Had more hair than he had chest, by the way. Here comes a mini-skirted gal after him. Here comes a bunch of long-haired hippie guys. Most of them had their shirt tails out. Most of them had their shirts unbuttoned. I was sitting right ready to preach on the platform, and here they are singing. Before they start singing, they went, "Okay, what'd you do? Preach the same thing I preach here?" So what do they think about it? Don't know. Didn't ask them. All I know is when it's all over, those teenagers gathered around me and captured me and wouldn't let me leave that building for 3 hours. They had to call the priest to get me out of that place alive, and they had to walk guard around the motel that night. Why? I tell you why. I'm not double-tongued. Preach the same. I was in Seattle, Washington, preaching at a Christian high school, so-called Christian. And by the way, most of these Christian schools nowadays are frauds. Taking the money of godly people whose mothers are working extra jobs and dads working two or three jobs and paying tuition for some stinking professors and teachers and principals haven't got the guts to stand up and give the old time gospel, and they're afraid of once again. Hey, you're looking at an old man tonight. There's not one teenager here I'm afraid of. Not a one. Not a one. I'm not a, listen, you don't like my preaching, you just walk right out of here. You don't like my preaching, Howells Henderson College, you just get out of the college if you want to. You teenagers don't like my preaching, just lock her up and bless God. This old man's gone too far to change his message. He's gone too far to change his Bible. He's gone too far to change his standards. He's gone too far to change his convictions. He's gone too far to change his music. I will not be double-tongued.
Well, stood there on the basketball court, preached to them. You can see the girls' underwear. They're sitting up in the stands. I got up. I said, "You girls, put your coats over your knees. I can see your underwear." And they decided they were going to clean my plow.
But I'm a better plow cleaner than I'm dirty plow. And they met me after it's all over. I did the same thing I mentioned a while ago in the little early session. Bunch of football players, big guys gathered around me and said, "We're going to whip you and beat you to a pulp." And I said, "Want to bet?" I said, "I learned karate and judo both in the paratroopers, and I'm just itching to use it." Scared the fire out of them. I couldn't chop a cracker in two. I got a bunch of double-tongued preachers. Say one thing one place, one thing another place. I preached in the north. I was over in Hinsdale Central High School years ago. All the places, Hinsdale Central. I stood to speak, began to read the Bible, and the students started screaming, "You can't read the Bible in public school." I said, "Watch me." While I read the Bible, they were screaming and hollering, saying, "You can't do it." I bowed my head to pray, and one idiot got up and he said, "You can't pray in a public school." I said, "Listen to me. What'd you preach?" "Same thing I preach here." It was all over. I went to the principal's office, and he said, "You're unusual." I said, "You better get unusual, or these students will hold you hostage here." I said, "These students will have you in your office and hold you hostage as a captive within 3 months." Ladies and gentlemen, in less than 3 months, I picked up the Chicago Tribune, and the principal of Hinsdale Central was held hostage in his office with the student body, and I wasn't sorry. Now, you listen to me. Young preacher boys, don't you be double-tongued. Preach it like it is. I've preached in all across this country in Southern Baptist meetings and preached the same Baptist Bible Fellowship, National Conventions, and Southwide Baptist Fellowship 27 times, and Gideon's International Convention, and the National Christian Booksellers Convention, and Indiana University Coliseum, and Northern Arizona University Coliseum, seating 7,000 people, North Texas State Coliseum, seating 7,000 people. Rutgers University Coliseum, where the New York Nets played their basketball games for years, seating 8,000 people. I preached in Cobalt Hall, Detroit, to 11,000 people. I preached at Dallas Convention Center to 10,000 people. I preached at Atlanta Convention Center, where you heard me first, to 8,000 people. I preached twice, two years. In Indianapolis, at the Indianapolis Convention Center, 7,000 people. Bless God, it's been the same Bible, same standard, same conviction. You'll be old someday. I do not know where the years have gone. On my 74th birthday, I sat down and tried to relive my life. I don't know where they've gone. All I know is that, thanks be to God, I believe I've stayed on course. And the reason I've stayed on course, I've not been double-minded. I've been single-minded, finding and doing the things that God called me to do and doing it where He called me to do it. I've not been double-hearted. I've been single-hearted. I've given it all of head. I don't have as much to give as some, but I give it all of head. I've not been double-tongued. The same thing has come from this tongue anywhere I preach through all of these years. My precious people, one of these days you'll be 74. One of these days you'll look back on your life. I want to promise you. You know, I have more fun than some of you college students do. And by the way, you high school rebels, I have more fun than you do. You're looking for it. I found it. You keep groping for it. I know where it is. It is in not being double-minded, not being double-hearted, and not being double-tongued. But single-minded, finding what God put me here for, finding where He wants me to do it, doing it like He wants me to do it, and saying what He wants me to say. So far, I've finished my course. I have done what I was supposed to do. I have done it where I was supposed to do it. I have done it like I was supposed to do it. And I have said what I was supposed to say. Ask a question tonight, and I'm through. Ask a question. I got much more to say, but I can't read it. When you're glad, ask a question. Does it matter to you why God made you? Listen to me. Does it matter? Do you give a flip? Do you believe in God? Do you believe there's a creator of the universe? Do you believe He made you? Do you believe He made you for a purpose? Do you give a flip whether you do it or not? You may not give a flip now when you're 18, 19, and 20 years old, but you will when you're 74. I had a little girlfriend. This house didn't think I ever had another girlfriend, but I did. I had a little girlfriend, first serious girlfriend I ever had. She was attractive. She was a cheerleader at W. Adamson High School. Went to our church. Her family didn't, but she was a fringe girl. I was a senior in high school. She and I were going steady. I can see Mrs. Howard. You remember Mrs. Howard, our high school superintendent, Sunday school. Walking by my house one day, I lived across the street from the church. She had to ride walk by my house to get to the church. She stopped on the sidewalk. I was on the sidewalk there. Mrs. Howard said, "Jack, you ought to give up that girl." And I said, "What's wrong with that? She's not a bad girl." She said, "She's not a bad girl, but she's not what you need. And she's not what you would want someday as a wife." Mr. Howard came by. He stopped me on the sidewalk and he said, "Jack," he said, "you ought to give up that girlfriend." I said, "What are you talking about?" See, I've been where you are. I, too, have thought I knew more than my teachers did. But one Sunday morning, I was sitting right back there in our auditorium. And all of a sudden, God got a hold of my heart. And I walked down the aisle, and I gave up that girl. I gave up two or three others I was running with also. I don't mean girls. Though they flocked me after me everywhere I went. I was checking a motel the other day, and where was I? Somewhere. Where have I been lately? I was checking a hotel. Oh! I've forgotten where I was. No, it was in Holiday Inn in Culpeper, Virginia. This gal, about 60 years old, was there. She said, I checked in the hotel. She said, "Would you give me your address?" And I said, "Women all of America begged me for my address." She said, "How about your phone number?" I said, "Same problem." But I walked down the aisle. The choir was singing, "Yes, Jesus took my burden I could no longer bear. Yes, Jesus took my burden and answered my prayer. My anxious fear subsided. My spirit was made strong. Yes, Jesus took my burden and left me with a song. Let me thank God tonight I listened to Mrs. Howard. Let me thank God tonight I listened to Mr. Howard, one of our fine deacons that loved me and cared for me. Let me thank God tonight I listened to Dr. Boyd, the brother of Joe Boyd, who was my hero when I was a boy. One of my heroes, my Sunday school teacher. And you'll be glad, listen to me, you'll be glad if you listen to somebody that knows what he's talking about. Just go ahead, young people. Go ahead. Go ahead and tip the light fantastic toe and rustle the unholy skirt. Go ahead and drink your liquors and drink your liquor and have your little get-togethers. And hey, by the way, go ahead and criticize First Baptist Church and Howells Anderson College, but you know in your heart that you are a fake, and you know we've got what's real and you don't have what's real, and you've got to run us down to make yourself feel better, and you're not trying to convince anybody else that we're not what we ought to be. You're trying to convince yourself. But you'll be back. Listen carefully. There's not a month of my life passes of what some middle-aged or young married person comes to see me and says, "Brother Hiles, I didn't listen to you. My life is messed up. I'm divorced, remarried, and I've been forsaken by my husband. They come every month. I'll be waiting for you. I'll be waiting for you, young lady, who thinks you know more than your mother and your father and your teachers and your principal and your youth director and your pastor. I'll be waiting. You'll be back. You'll be back. I'll be waiting, young man, who dares to sit in judgment on the things of Almighty God and this great work here. I'll be waiting. You'll be back. You'll be back. And so as I look at my life, as said before, I realize that whether the college students keep screaming, we want 50, we want 50, we want 50. I'd settle for 50 more minutes right now, or 50 more days. They mean they want me to say that I'm 50 years old, and I may do that. But that's not very long from now. That's only several years, 9 years, less than 9 years from now. I mean, if I stay for 50 years here, I said, well, I'll go stay till I'm 50 years old. A little girl said to me not long ago, said, I love you so much, I hope you live to be 50. Well, I want to thank God tonight as an old man, happy, excited about the work. I want to thank God. I've not been double-minded. This one thing I do, follow the same course. I've not been double-hearted. I've given it all I've got. I've not been double-tongued. It's been the same all the way through. And you listen to carefully. You'll either say, and I had a sermon on this, you'll either say when you get my age, I'm glad I did, or I wish I had.
I don't believe it.
Well, how long have you passed it?
I don't believe what you're saying.
How many folks have you seen come through?
Well, I just say, I just don't agree with you on some things.
How many folks have you counseled with? If you've got the sense of a nanny goat, I don't know how much sense that is, but if you've got the sense of a nanny goat, you listen to somebody that loves you, and you'll decide to find out why God made you. And you'll decide to do what God made you to do, where He made you to do it, like you're supposed, like He wants you to do it, saying what you are supposed to say. And one day, you'll be happy. There'll be a lot of people tonight say, preacher, I believe what you're saying. I believe you are happy. That's one reason you're here. You know, a lot of you folks come. You come to hear my corny humor. You came today to hear that I was flossing my teeth. Don't floss your teeth. Every time I floss my teeth, the filling comes out. Don't floss your teeth. I went to a dentist 2 years ago, and I said, Doc, did you floss your teeth this morning? He said, hush. I was flossing my teeth the other day, and one of them, a crown came out. It's got that little nail on the end of it. They call it a post. It was stuck to the tooth. So I stuck that thing back in there. I missed several times, and you're not crying yet. And I, thank you. And I finally got it back in. I shouldn't have done it. Miss Howell's now reading over it. Illinois, a Red Lobster Friday night. I felt with my tongue that tooth was gone. Somewhere between here, down here, somewhere. I think I'm in trouble all of a sudden. Somewhere, there is a tooth and a nail in it. Somewhere. Doc, you're having a good time back here. Dr. Jones is in it. Dennis, you're having a good time. And I don't know where it is. All I know is I've been hurting ever since. I've had felt like that thing is sticking me all over, you know, all. And but you know, that's one reason you come here, to hear what my latest tragedy. You come here because I'm happy, and you come here because I lift your spirits. And the reason I can lift your spirits is because for all these years, I've not been double-minded, I've not been double-hearted, I've not been double-tongued. I found what God made me to do. I have done what He made me to do, what I was supposed to do. I have done it where I was supposed to do it. I've done it like I was supposed to do it. And I've said what I was supposed to say. I promise you that little recipe will make you a happy, set before you a person someday, even if you swallow a tooth of a nail in the tooth. I love you young people. I want the best for you. I have no standards that I'm trying to get you to subscribe to. I don't get any commission for everyone turns out right. I just want you to be in your life happy, joyous, successful. Father, bless the message. I'm going to quit. Bless the message. I'm talking to somebody tonight who's double-minded, no singular purpose. They have not found or don't care why they're put here. And not concerned about whether or not they're doing it or where they do it, if they do it. I'm talking to some tonight who are double-hearted. Oh, they want to serve God and they want to be useful, but don't be fanatics about it. At least you want overboard. They're double-hearted. And there's some tonight who are one color one place, one color another, double-tongued, talk like the world when they get in the world, talk like the church when they get to church, say grace at home but not in a restaurant, double-tongued. I pray tonight you help our people, especially our young people, to decide to be single-minded, single-hearted, and single-tongued, doing what your purpose is, and doing it where you want them to do it, and like you want it done, and speaking while they're what they ought to speak. Amen. Shall we stand? The choir will sing. Amen.